Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mexican Soccer Show. I'm your host, Cesar Hernandez, and today we're going to talk about Tri's recent friendlies, the news from the latest Liga MX weekend, and also catch up on the Mexicans abroad. But before we get into that, let me introduce tonight's guest. I was going to say plural, but it's just me and Adriana tonight. So Adriana, how are you doing? You're over in Mexico City. I know you we're all trying to rush a little bit to start the show, but we're all composed. We're set. We're good to go.
I know we have like Maradona mania coming up on social media, so it would be great to see what fans also think about Maradona making his debut with Dorados right at this minute. Apparently, the Dorados fans weren't too hyped up about it. But yeah, lots of talk about. We have El Tri. We still have like, I don't know, we have like Tuca's like responses to El Tri. It's becoming a telenovela slowly.
Yeah.
You know, you get the bad guys, and then we have to like apparently beg for Tuca to actually take the job now. And yeah, lots of surprises this Liga MX weekend. Probably the teams we thought the least would make that surprise, they did. So, viva Mexico.
Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about. Like you just mentioned, Maradona. I mean, we were just talking about him, like, right before we started recording. I think even you had to take a phone call, like, right there. I don't know if that was involving Maradona right there. You definitely, some people, I think more press were keeping an eye on Maradona. But like you said, it looks like not that many fans showed up to his first game out there in the second division.
Yeah, actually, I think we'll give them just a bit more time to make it to the stadium because we're not the most punctual fans. Let's just make that honest. Like we just know that. So let's wait until halftime, see how many people actually go to the stadium. It's actually, I think, 1 hour less than Central Time. So okay. I don't know. Let's give people a chance and see if they come up to see Maradona. But the game just started and the stadium wasn't full. And I'm thinking they weren't expecting that at all.
Yeah, and speaking of being late to things, apologies to everyone, because yes, we are also late, and we're about 8 to 9 minutes late here, starting the Mexican Soccer Show. But let's kick things off with the big question of the night, which is who will win the award for Outstanding Drama Series in the 2018 Emmys? I'm just kidding. We also have the Emmys going on tonight. That's something.
Yeah,
that's something, there's so much going on.
It's a busy
on.
Monday.
It is
it's
a
like
busy
weird.
Monday.
Like, people hate Mondays, and there's like lots of things, and there's Monday Night Football, and I'm a Seahawks fan as well, so yeah, I'm keeping an eye out for that as well.
All right, so let's actually go with the big question, which is, what are your predictions for tomorrow's Champions League matches? And of course, we're focusing on the Europeos, so what are your predictions for Barcelona versus PSV and Schalke versus Porto?
I'm a bit more optimistic with Porto. I think they have a much larger chance of actually getting a victory on the first game. I'd love to see PSV surprise Barcelona, but I was looking at their stats, and they have like 26 unbeaten games at home, and out of those 26, 24 were victories. So it seems like rough odds for Chucky and Eric Gutierrez, who we all love, and we just saw them, and they were like I don't know, like separated at birth or something, because we really love seeing them on the weekend, but I really doubt that they'll get a victory out of Camp Nou.
Yeah, no, as romantic and as fantastic it would be to see those two young Mexicans getting a result against Barcelona. Even if PSV were at home, that would still be extremely tough. Remember, they're away at the Camp Nou, so it's I can't see him getting a win here. Maybe I would say it's going to be a low-scoring win here for Barcelona. But either way, I do hope that we see, I mean, we're more than likely going to see Chucky out there, but I do hope we see some minutes for Eric Gutierrez out there. So I think as long as we see good performances from them, regardless of the scoreline, that's what I'm hoping for. I think that's just me being a little realistic. So I'm going to go with a narrow win for Barcelona. And I think I agree with you for Schalke-Porto. I think Porto are a little bit better. They have a little bit of a better opportunity to get a result. So I'm going to go with a win there for Porto. Yeah. Maybe we'll see an assist from their captain, Hector Herrera. You know, been quite the player for them recently. I was going to say, actually, not even just recently, but for a solid year. He's been quite a consistent and reliable player for them. But I'm going with a win for Barcelona and a win for Porto.
Yeah, I agree. And I think being optimistic, I think what I would most like is to see all the Mexicans have a really good performance in both games.
Yeah.
Hector Herrera had all these rumors surrounding him because he apparently met up with Julen Lopetegui, who is now Real Madrid coach, who was his coach at Porto. So all these rumors started flying out saying, oh my God, is he going to sign for Real Madrid next season or something? So it'd be great to see that after all these speculations, he gave a good performance. And it'd be like, hey, that might not be such a bad idea eventually. I don't know. And then obviously we're all rooting for Chucky, and we're hoping that Eddie Gutierrez gets some minutes as well, especially after what they saw, how they played on the weekend.
Yeah. So on Twitter, J Pablo at Mexicans_abroad, he said 4-2 Barca, 2 goals from Chucky, and Porto and Schalke 0-0 draw. On the chat, we have Luis Martinez talk about a game that doesn't involve the Mexicans abroad, but still an exciting game nonetheless. He says PSG over Liverpool. I think he misspelled Liverpool. I think he said Liverloop, whatever. JP Santoy said, I'm here for the Emmys talk. Yeah, man, thank God that they're going to replay them afterwards on the show, because I'm going to go check that out and see what awards Atlanta won.
Rooting for Game of Thrones, by the way.
Game of Thrones. I feel like one of those people. We used to talk to me like 5 times about watching that show. I just can't get. Actually, you know, there have been a lot of people who've talked to me about watching that show. I just can't get into it. And then we have Adrian Ordonez, who says Chucky and Guti will get a goal or assist. So that's something.
Hopefully, I would love that. Yeah.
I mean,
I love for the goal. I like the goal more than the assist, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, away but against Barcelona.
I'm thinking 3-1 victory. I'm thinking 3-1 Barcelona, but I would love it so much if that goal by PSV would be Chucky's.
Yeah. Okay. So really quickly, we're going to discuss today. It's going to be L3's friendlies. We're going over the Liga MX news, Mexicans abroad, and also a little bit on the Campeones Cup. We were supposed to have at Mexico World Cup himself, Tom Marshall, but he's out in Toronto. I can only imagine eating what's that thing they eat in Canada? Poutine or whatever? That's like the famous food out there. It's like fries with gravy. I have no idea. I think Tom went to university in the Toronto area, so he's probably going to be like hitting up some old stomping grounds up there. But yeah, he couldn't join us, but we're still going to discuss a little bit of the Campeones Cup. But Adrian, let's start with L3. Obviously, we don't want to focus too much on this since what did happen in the past, but I mean, Mexico got a 4-1 loss against Uruguay. They got the 1-0 loss against the U.S. men's national team. We probably all discussed the Matt Miazga thing far too long now. what else do we have to say that's really constructive at this point about the Matt Miazga Linus situation? But for you, Adriana, when you're thinking of the positives or negatives, like what comes to mind when you think of the positives?
Obviously, the minutes for all the younger players. I really like the fact that they just played them. I really think they didn't care about the result. Obviously, it kind of stings that they lost against the U.S., who also had a really, really young squad and had all this generational change and starting for next World Cup qualifiers. But I really like the fact that they not only called up all these young players, but actually gave them all minutes or gave most of them minutes. I think the only one that had no minutes was, I think, Lahoud. Was that it?
Yeah, he didn't get any minutes at all. So, yeah. Oh, and Jonathan Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan Gonzalez.
Oh, he got minutes in the first game, but the second game he didn't get the start because he was injured. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I really like that. I really didn't care about the score, although obviously there's this huge rivalry with the U.S., but still, I like that you could see the personality of some of the players. I love seeing Linus just come up and go against Miazga. If you're like a foot taller, I like them getting that international exposure. But I think the most important thing is now seeing them actually go through and getting more games slowly and trying to get this combination between experienced players but not without giving minutes to all the younger ones as well. I think there's no point in having these younger players if you don't give them minutes. You have 4 years for them to get that experience. So I really don't mind if you don't call up Chicharito. He's not playing with West Ham anyway. He's not getting goals with his team. So I really don't mind if you just don't call up as many international players as you used to. Maybe even get some more Liga MX players. I don't know, Elias Hernandez might be a bit older, but I'd still like to see him a bit more in the national team. So I think that's the most important thing for the following games in October and November.
Yeah, 100% agree with the young players. I was extremely impressed with Linus. I think we all were. Alvarado, yeah. I think he had his moments. Avea, Arteaga, obviously Lozano in the first game. Guzman had his moments in the second game. I was just very impressed with them. Obviously, I mean, we can go on some negatives and talk about the finishing, which I think should be discussed. But I was quite happy with how fluid Mexico looked, especially in the first half against the U.S. men's national team, how really dominant they were, how much more creative they really looked. Obviously, we have a lot of work to do in that final third, but I was extremely impressed with them. And like we mentioned earlier, I mean, Linus, I think, was a perfect example of that young player that you really want to see step up for Mexico. That you really want to see, you know, make a name for themselves and really say, like, hi, you know, I want to make a name for myself in this next generation. I want to be, you know, relevant to the next or the current World Cup cycle leading to 2022. So I was pretty impressed by him, and that was a huge silver lining for me But Adriano, when it came to the negatives, I mean, I just mentioned one that for me, finishing was not great for me. But yeah. what were some of the negatives for you?
I think I really don't mind the goals against Uruguay. I mean, you saw them and you're like, oh my God, it's the same World Cup squad. We're going to be hammered here.
Yeah, that was just like world-class stuff right there for Blue Stars. God. Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm really worried about not having a striker. I really don't mind any other position. I think we're doing really great with. I see goalkeepers, I see defenders, I see midfielders. I love Linus not only because he's a good player, but because after all this attention he's been getting, he hasn't let it get like up to his head. He's been really calm about it. He's been playing just the same. He's showing all his potential. I think that's something that I really applaud, because usually you see all these young players come up and then after a week they start missing games. They start losing their, like, they're in over their heads with all the attention. And I think Linus has done a great job with people surrounding him. I'm guessing his family as well. But I'm really worried about not having a striker. I just don't see someone coming up and saying, I'm the solution. I'm that number nine that you guys need. So I was looking around at the league, and there really isn't that many possibilities. I was actually thinking they should come up with like an alternate like 2011 rule saying that half of the minutes have to be strikers. I really don't know what they're going to do, because you look at the league and there's not many solutions really. I mean, there was some people were saying Vega from Toluca. You can't say Linus because he's more like a winger. There's not someone that really comes to mind. You're like, oh yeah, that guy can like, be a solution. I was thinking Efrain Alvarez from LA Galaxy too, and that guy's just been called up, I think, to the U17 team. So not a solution yet either.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be writing about this soon for ESPN. It should be coming out Thursday. It's talk about this exact issue. That just like, all right, so you see Jimenez doing well. That's exciting. Obviously, Chicharito, he's struggling for minutes. He's still a great player for Mexico. But after them, it's like, Who's next? Yeah. Who's next? And I think there are young players. I do think that there are young players. They just need to get minutes and they need to score. I mean, you could say Rafael Duran from Tigres. There's a potential there. Roberto de la Rosa. There's potential there. Vega, you mentioned him. There's potential there. I think if you look at the Liga MX, there is potential. And I think you can create a list of players, but they still have so much to prove, even at the Liga MX level. Not even proving at the... proving at the international level, or proving at something like what you see like with a Linus or Arteaga recently, they just need minutes and they need to prove so much within their first division team. So I think there are options. And it's just keeping your fingers crossed that someone really does step up. Because if not, it's going to be Jimenez in 2022 and the backup is going to be Chicharito. And after that, I have no idea. We have to make a desperate call to Uribe and be like, please come back, because we have no other option. I know you're 55 years old, but we need you as a third backup striker.
Yeah. And it's something that I think we probably have known from, like, it's been how long since we had a Liga MX, like, leading goal scorer, like Mexican leading goal scorer. I think it's the last one was Angel Reina, I think, still, right? Right now we have Furch, we have Guignac, we have Victor Davila, which, by the way to go Necaxa with getting all those Chilean players. They're doing really well.
Yeah.
You have Cebolla Rodriguez, then you have Sambeso, and then you have Elias Hernandez, who, let's be honest, isn't a solution.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is we always have a long list of wingers, attacking midfielders. Like, even recently it's been nice to see, like, oh cool, we have fullbacks now. Even though Lahoud didn't get minutes, we have a decent option there in net. In center defense, we still have some decent options, but just we need an out-and-out striker. Somebody, please, within the next like year or so, please, a young player. Like, I know that it all depends on the teams as well, because obviously you have the youth minutes rule, but you aren't seeing the youth minutes, as you mentioned, you're not seeing them given to strikers. Like, those aren't the players that are getting minutes. They're players in other positions. So it's just keeping your fingers crossed that someone really does step up soon.
I really hope so, but obviously the league is probably not the biggest. It's not as interested in getting all those Mexican goal scorers, but that means giving them time. And let's face it, some of the teams really don't have time. You have Veracruz is facing relegation next season again. You have Lobos who's doing poorly this season again. And you have other teams that just want to make sure they have a good outcome in several games. So you just get the experienced striker all the time, even though he's a foreigner. So I get it. I get why the clubs don't give those minutes. It's hard for them to give minutes in any position, but I particularly understand why it's even harder to give them on a striker position, because there's so much more responsibility. But still, I think that's where the Federation has to come up and say, hey, I really need your help. These guys are not going to come from anywhere else. We just can't go to Europe or go to the U.S. and say, hey, we just found these Mexican strikers. So hopefully something will come up. Maybe the U20 team, maybe the U17 team eventually will get a striker there. But I think it's too much wishful hoping.
Or even some like a team like Pachuca, which I think it's just like we can all say it's the best of the best mm-hmm. of the best when it comes to developing young Mexican talent. I know they helped develop Roberto de la Rosa, but I mean even them, they don't. Since when do they play with and at least in recent seasons with like an out and out Mexican striker up there, like in their three man front line? Yeah, you'll see one of them on the wings, maybe. Yeah, you'll see one of them in a center attacking midfield position. But look at the recent signing they made, the guy from Leicester City. They're going to be probably giving him. No, it's Ulloa, I think.
Ulloa, yeah.
Yeah, and he's probably going to be taking over Franco Jara soon. So if even a team like that isn't giving minutes to a Mexican striker, it's just not very good going forward for the Mexican national team. And it is just really, really hoping that someone steps up soon in the near future.
This is where we need all the fans to join in and root for Chivas. See, this is why it's
yep, you have. That's right, America. You have no choice.
You are all centered in on Chivas is doing a really good job with younger players. So I think that's probably what I worried about the most after seeing all the Mexican national team last week. Yeah. Other than that, I think they did a pretty good job. I really don't worry about the other positions. It's just giving them time, giving them experience, not forgetting about them and saying like, oh, okay, you just got minutes with the national team. We'll call you up, I don't know, maybe in January or something. No, just keep on calling them. They'll get experience, and that's what they need. But, we need something, a brilliant plan for that striker position.
Well, you already mentioned a few Liga MX teams there. I started talking about Pachuca. You started talking about Chivas. So let's jump right into Adriana. Let's talk Liga MX, and let's start with the shocking result of the weekend. Necaxa with a 2-0 win over Cruz Azul. It's Cruz Azul's first loss of the season. It's actually the first Liga MX loss since March of this year. I mean, just what a result for Necaxa. Your thoughts on that win for them?
I was actually looking at the game and I was like, I think Cruz Azul might, I don't know, lose this one. It's particularly because I think Necaxa was doing a good job. I thought Necaxa had a really great start this season, and then something happened. They kind of lost themselves, and I don't know. I think maybe something with the coach, maybe not being as experienced to like have them perform the same way throughout the season. I'm not quite sure, but I was actually thinking if they have to lose, this is a great moment to actually do it. They're just coming out from the break. They're still the first position. I think it's actually less pressure if they lose that streak and just become like a regular team and know that they can eventually lose. Otherwise, it's going to be all this pressure saying you have to be a champion and yet you're not losing and you have all these players and then you have Alvarado who was called up to national team and you have Elias Hernandez who was called up to national team. So I think it was just one less thing to worry about for Cruz Azul. So just lose against Necaxa. It wasn't their best game at all. I'm not quite sure. Caixinha gave them the week off. I think that was actually quite smart, despite the result. I think it's a good idea to just get them lose some pressure as well, and they might have a really tough calendar coming up again with the Copa and stuff. So, I thought it was a win-win situation despite the loss somehow.
A win-win. So you're saying is get the loss out of the way. Better to have the loss now near the midpoint of the season as opposed to let's say a month.
America in some weeks or something. I think that would have been worse. Yeah.
Yeah, because if this was a loss to America or against Chivas or against one of the bigger sides, then we would just be making a huge deal about this. We'd be like, oh my god, what is happening? Yeah.
Exactly.
America's not going to win the title. Chivas are somehow not going to make the win the title. Like, that's what we'd be saying if Cruz Azul lost one of those big sides.
Yeah, I really do think it was better for them to just lose a game already. They did it with the Copa. I think it was against Atlas, wasn't it?
They did lose a Copa Mekis guy. I forget who, but yeah.
I forget who it was. Or did they score against Atlas? But yeah, I was actually saying, you have one less thing to worry about because you have they actually used their hybrid pitch for the first time this time. I had no idea they weren't using it. I thought they were, alternating between the Federation facilities and La Noria, which is where they usually practice. And then, they got their pitch just now, which is the same pitch that they're using at the Azteca Stadium. So it took them almost 2 months to get that ready, which kind of makes you think why the Azteca isn't ready after all this time. But I really do think it was just better for them to lose that pressure.
And luckily for them, they lost during the Canelo fight. So, no one was really paying attention. Yeah. I thought, like, I thought, like, I was the only one paying attention to Mexican soccer. I was like, well, where's everyone going? Like, I don't really like boxing that much. Where are you guys all going? Let's talk about, like, Chivas. Let's talk. And actually, let's jump into it right now, Adriana, because I felt like I was the only one watching that Chivas game. Chivas with a huge 4-2 win over Rayados. I mean, I well earned an impressive win for Chivas.
On the Independence Day, nonetheless, I was like, I was looking at the three things at the same time. So we were looking at the boxing fight live. So we were actually, looking at one side, and then I was like, oh my God, it's the break. And then I was looking at the other side, and then Chivas just scored like three goals. I don't know, in 20 minutes or what seemed like 20 minutes. I had no idea because I had to do the America match. So I was done with that. And then I was like, oh my God, Chivas over here. And then I was like, oh my God, Cruz Azul is still losing. And then, oh my God, Canelo might win. It was just crazy. And then some people elsewhere were yelling Viva Mexico or something. So, because that was at the same time, the president came out and said, you know, the Viva Mexico speech at the same time that all those things happened.
Yeah.
So, I'm sad for Chivas because on one side, you're like, oh my God, they beat Monterrey, which is probably one of the tougher rivals.
Yeah.
Although I think some people are kind of being a little more skeptic about Diego Alonso. I just don't think he's done as well as many people thought. But still, nonetheless, really good performance by Chivas, just coming from, I think they were going down 2-1, coming away with a 4-2 victory against Monterrey in Monterrey.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, Cruz Azul somehow losing against Necaxa. But yeah, I think it was even a more positive thing that people weren't actually paying that much attention to the game at that point.
Yeah, Monterrey, they did have to make two injury subs in the first half. So I think that's something to keep in mind. Avilés was injured, substituted out. Urreta Vizcaya was injured. He had to substitute out. But either way, I mean, Monterrey, they're completely stacked. They're just one of the most talented rosters in the Western Hemisphere. So I think that losing 4-2 against a side like Chivas, that's pretty disappointing for Rayados fans. But speaking of losses, Atlas, another loss, another goalless game for them on a terrible Estadio Jalisco pitch. They lost 1-0 to Xolos yesterday. I mean, just things aren't getting any better for Atlas at all. I mean, especially when I know Xolos went down to 10 men, but there was such a questionable red for them as well in that match.
I know, and lots of pressure with Atlas as well. You have the pitch just adding up to all the pressure. It was Guillermo Hoyos' first match with the team. Obviously not that much time to actually work and make a difference, I think. There's this idea that in Liga MX, the coach that whoever has its first game will actually win. So it's técnico que debuta gana, they say over here, but obviously it's not true, like, half the time. And the other half the time, just luck. But yeah, tough luck for Atlas because you have Rafa Márquez coming in with this administrative position, and he's had really bad luck. He brought in Pareja, who was also injured. He hasn't even been able to practice with the team.
Yeah.
And you bring in Hoyos, who really sounds like a promising coach. I mean, you look at him and you're like, oh my God, this guy was in Barcelona, not the first team, but still some team that, like Atlas, wants to bring out all these young players. And it just seems, you look at the calendar, you're like, I really don't know when they're going to be able to win. I was actually rooting for them against Xolos. I put a 1-0 victory for Atlas this time, but I that's going to be a tough one to get out of. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's going to be really difficult for them. And their new manager, what's his name? Hoyos, I forget.
Guillermo
Hoyos, who I was pretty impressed with his resume. But then I also saw he coached the Jacksonville Armada or something like that for a season. it's like, cool, you're in Barcelona, but then what? Wait, what were you doing in like the low, in like the second or third division of like American soccer? but Tom made a bet with me. He bet a Corona on that one, so now he owes me a beer. So Tom, if you're listening, if you're over there in Toronto, you definitely still owe me a beer.
Pay up, man.
For you, are there any other notable moments from the Liga MX weekend? Whether it be America, maybe the Pumas Lobos swap game. What else stood out to you?
Pumas, I think I thought about them getting the victory, obviously going to Seoul, no fans as well, because everybody was, I guess, still drunk or something. So not lots of pressure in Seoul. Yeah. I mean, who's going to go to Seoul at 12 noon?
Yeah.
After
exactly. Yeah.
15th. So yeah, I get that. But, I was actually thinking that they might fire Palencia, but then if you think about it, it's Lobos, and they might just not have the money to fire him and bring in a new coach.
Yeah.
So, I'm starting to worry, and they're probably thinking that the best thing that's happened to them is seeing Atlas not win, because despite not technically not there being a relegation next season, they could still make it back to Ascenso if they don't pay up the money and the fine for actually being last in the relegation table. So I like Pumas probably half the game. The other half, I just saw fans were really, really mad because this is a team that has a coach that is known for like being really aggressive and had a really forward-looking like playing style. And then he's coaching David Patiño. He just like, I don't know, he gets like really relaxed and the team isn't looking that aggressive. And this is Pumas at home. It's, that's when you have to be most aggressive. So I saw lots of fans being angry despite the 4-2 victory.
And so second time this season that's happened where it's like a high-scoring game. I think the second time in the last like month or so that Pumas, they get a win, but it's just like, what's going on there defensively with the side? It just makes so many mistakes. Yeah,
so I don't know. People are, I mean, Pumas is second place now, but still, it just doesn't seem like they're like a team to beat still without, like, despite that position. So it's kind of odd. And I do get the fans being angry because they have a team. They've proved it. They're second place. That could actually be more, I don't know, be more like a leader in the Liga MX. We're still thinking about America. Maybe even, I don't know, Monarcas at the first half of the season was doing pretty well, and then they're doing kind of poorly. And yeah, Tigres as well, I think, is kind of surprising that you just don't see them win as much as before. They got a draw against Pachuca.
And they almost lost. If it wasn't for that golazo. If it wasn't for that golazo from Zelarayan, I sent out a tweet. I was like, I was about to like criticize Tigres. Because it'd be one thing if Tigres were dominating possession, if they were like creating a lot of opportunities, but Pachuca had a significant amount of possession. Pachuca were creating opportunities, and I almost feel like Pachuca were worthy of the wins there. So I do think that's worth noting right there with Tigres.
Yeah, I think so. Tigres, for some reason, but we've seen this before. Like, this Tuca took over some years ago. They'll have like this like really good start, and then halfway through the season, they'll be like okay. They'll be like 6-7 in the Liga MX, and then all of a sudden, they'll make it in Liguilla, and they'll be like, they'll win or something.
And then Gignac's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I should step up. Let me all score like 5 goals today. We'll see what happens. Yeah,
it's really odd. And obviously, they have all this pressure after Tuca coming in from the national team, and he had to. He actually told reporters if they could please stop, like, just like asking him questions about the national team. I won't say what he said on the conference because it wasn't a really nice word. But he was like, "Oh my God, please get off my back about this."
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that was the other result. Santos, I wasn't really too surprised. Gustavo Diaz was fired today, by the way. Most important. I thought what was most odd about that match was that they had to change their jerseys in like the 27th minute because they realized they were just too similar to the ones of Leon.
So it was like they changed the shorts and then they had to change the shirt. So then they tactically went through 3 different like setup of the jerseys right there, right?
Yeah, something like that. Because they had this really like, it was their anniversary last week. So they had this really odd looking shirt with all like a combination of all their previous uniforms. But it was mostly green and white, which is Leon's colors as well. So obviously, Leon can't change. They just brought in like their away jersey, and that was it. So then Santos had to take away their anniversary jersey and put on like the regular their away jersey, which is black and green. And they're playing in Torreón at 4 p.m. So I don't know. Somehow they ended up losing with all those movements because it was really, really warm at that time.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the games. I think we only have the other one, Veracruz against Toluca. That was a crazy game as well.
Yeah, I was watching that one in the background where Toluca were doing well. Veracruz like fought back, and then Toluca were able to get that that late goal there through a penalty. So I think that was a goal from Sambuesa through a penalty, very light on there. So credit to them. And yeah, I guess the America over Morelia. I guess not that surprised America got the win, but shout out to Jorge Sanchez for that golazo. If you haven't had a chance to go watch that right now, because like what a goal that was.
You know what the odd thing is? Toluca had this young player come in. He made his Liga MX debut and he scored. I think it's Adrian Mora, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then Puebla's victory 1-0 against Querétaro was also a young player. I'm trying to remember his name. I'll look it up. And then you have Jorge Sanchez come in for America and also scoring for America. So that was pretty cool. I like when the young players like step up and make a shot. Loroña is the guy from Puebla.
Yeah,
so it's really fun because you see
Vladimir Loroña. I'm looking that up. Yeah,
exactly. Vladimir Loroña is a very Mexican name. But the odd thing is you see like a number 230 come up to the field and you're like, oh my God, poor guy. I mean, the number barely fits on his back and then he did come up with a goal. And so I'm rooting for those guys with the long numbers on their jerseys.
And especially because I feel like that it's so obvious too. Like if you're an opposing team and you see a guy with a 355, you're like, ah, this is a kid. This is like, I can easily piece of cake. I can easily take this academy guy down. I do feel, because I feel like they're just a target at that point. They're probably like much shorter and like skinnier than the rest of the players too. Yeah. So like, but a shout out to those young Mexicans who've been getting minutes, obviously because of the youth minutes rule. But please, oh my God, soccer gods, give us a striker. Just please give us a striker.
Yeah, please. I don't know. We'll make it a 16-team league or something. We'll sacrifice two of our teams. Well, something. We'll go to the Sun Pyramid and something and make some kind of ritual and we get like a pair of strikers.
I thought you said like the Sum Soccer United Marketing Pyramid. I was like, yeah, I guess maybe they could. Are they the soccer gods at this point? They're definitely taking charge of some stuff. All right. So quick shout out to the listeners of the Mexican Soccer Show. You're still in the lead with 42 points in our predictions table. Shout out to Amy who takes charge of that and puts all the tally and whatnot. I wouldn't have the patience to do that work, so well done, Amy. So yeah, the Mexican Soccer Show fans are in the lead 42 points. Adriana is in second 41. I have 40, and then we have Weasel, Amy, and Tom trailing just behind.
The fans actually chose Chivas. Do I remember that correctly?
Yeah, that's because like 70% of our fans are Chivas fans. That's why.
I'm a Chivas fan. I put Monterrey.
Nah, dude, it's like 70% of our list. I would say, all right, I'm gonna make a wild guess that it's probably entirely untrue. Okay, I'm gonna guess 40% of our fans are Chivas fans, 30% of our fans are América fans, and then like the last 30 after that, it's just like a mixture of all the other teams. So I think there's just a strong majority of Chivas fans are just like, yeah, like Chivas, Cruz Azul, Chivas, Chivas, Tigres, boom, Chivas. Like, I think
was just crazy.
Yeah, but obviously, well-deserved win for Chivas there. Extremely impressive for them.
Well done, guys. Well done. There you go. There you are.
There you go. Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Until next week when I surpass you guys. All right, Adriana, let's talk about the Campeones Cup. It's this Wednesday night, 7th place Tigres versus 9th place in the East, Toronto. I mean, be honest. I mean, I was going to ask Tom this question because he made the long trip over to Toronto, but I was going to ask him, but I'm going to ask you. I mean, I don't know, from a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you? Because I'm a 3. I'm a 3. I don't know how excited you are.
I was like a 1 because I didn't even remember we had that game, I think, until I saw Tigres win the tie against Pachuca on Saturday. I was like looking up what their next game was, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's coming up. I really think it's a good idea of a game, disregarding the fact that the calendars are off, obviously, by some months. But something happened. I don't know if it was the FIFA pause last week, or I have no idea what happened, but people really don't know that this is happening. So I love the idea, but I'm really not psyched about it at all, especially seeing as both teams aren't doing quite as well as we'd like them to. It's not the amazing Tigres with Gignac like coming in and taking charge of all like the offense and stuff like that. They're doing okay. I thought Toronto would be doing a lot better as well. They're really, I respect them a lot since Chivas faced them last season, but I really think something happened, like between them actually coming up and showing the trophy on social media and showing all the logo. I really think fans have no idea this is going on the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in support of a game like this. I think it's cool. Mm-hmm. I think more stuff like this is, it's good for both sides, but just the execution of it is just terrible. Yeah. A Wednesday night on the same week of the Clásico Regio, like who, like, didn't someone look at the schedule
the and calendar, see that just like, yep.
and be like, should we put this game just a few days before the biggest game of the season for Tigres? Like, how did no one recognize that? I'm just really, really confused by that. I'm a supporter of this. I'm excited for more games going forward, but just because it's going to be on a Wednesday, just because it's the same week of the Clásico Regio, I know Tigres brought up some of their best players out there to Toronto, but because Toronto exactly haven't been at their best, I know. Yeah, I'm at a 3. I'm genuinely a 3. I'm not that excited by it, but who knows? It could end up being a very good game. We could say this right now, and it could end up being a thrilling match. But I don't know. Credit to the league, both leagues, for creating this game.
For the effort,
For the effort, and it'd be interesting to see how it goes like in the future. But I'm just not interested in this week.
I know. I was going to say the same person that was in charge of putting the game on the same week as the Clásico Regio was the same person that saw that Santos and León were playing with pretty much the same jerseys on Sunday. yeah, I really like the effort. It's like probably the closest thing we'll ever get to a like an all-star Liga MX against an all-star MLS match, something along those lines.
Yeah.
But I really, really don't like the fact that people aren't aware that this is actually happening in 2 days.
Yeah.
I'd love for both teams to be a bit stronger in the respective leagues. I'd love for this to be Tigres that won a couple of years ago and just being like really, I don't know, the team to beat in Liga MX. It is, but now more by popularity, maybe it's not the strongest version of Tigres we've seen in a while. So yeah, it's I'm kind of sad that it's not been as big as a thing as we thought it could be.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. It's this Wednesday. Don't ask me what time the game is at because I have no idea. actually, can look it up. Let's switch gears over to the Mexicans abroad. We talked a little bit about it. We talked about the Champions League, but so we're just going to go ahead and say that it could be an exciting game, but we think that PSV is going to lose to Barcelona tomorrow.
Yeah, this is one of the things where you want all of the soccer gods to come in and kind of ruin everyone's plan of just knowing that Barcelona will win. Yeah. And just saying, oh, let's just have like one of those accidents that happen in soccer. Somehow it's like Alcorcón beating Real Madrid in La Copa del Rey, something like that coming along those lines.
Yeah.
But no, obviously it's going to be a tough call for PSV. They have the toughest group, I think, kind of debatable maybe, but yeah, probably the second toughest group in the entire league. So any good, getting a goal in Camp Nou would probably be a good result. And yeah, I think Barcelona will have no problem getting the victory at home.
Yeah, likewise. I'll be happy to see Eric Gutierrez on the field just because for that experience. I mean, to think that this guy, I forget exactly what Pachuca's schedule was like, but he could have potentially been facing Puebla last month. And now he's going to be like in the Camp Nou, like playing against Barcelona. Like what a transition for that. For that player, but hopefully we can see a good performance from him and Lozano. But yeah, Porto, Schalke, I mean, I expect a little bit more from those guys, a little bit more experience, more. So I think I expect a good game from Herrera, a win for Porto, and hopefully a starting spot for Tecatito as well, because it's a little up and down with Tecatito when it comes to him and his role for Porto. Up and down for the last two seasons, really, with Tecatito.
Yeah, I don't know. He's had lots of personal issues. You remember when he was with the Mexican national team, he had all this permission to leave the team and then come back on again. And
some personal tragedies. It's unfortunate. He's
exactly. But sadly, it's also had some impact on his playing style and his performance because I remember when you saw Porto and you would see like at least three Mexican players. You would have Victor Herrera. Sometimes you would have Diego Reyes. You would have Tecatito. The only one who was missing was Raúl Gudiño at that point sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'd really like him to get some minutes and to try to like recuperate that role that he had that we just saw as a winger and trying to take some responsibility at the offense with Porto, which we know Herrera will probably do. He's done a lot better, a regular performance than Tecatito.
Yeah, and then looking forward, we also have the Europa League. Let's not forget about that. Villarreal versus Rangers, Marseille versus Eintracht Frankfurt, Sevilla versus Standard Liège, Dynamo Zagreb versus Fenerbahce, and Olympiacos versus Real Betis. From those games, like which ones are you excited about? Because I think for me, I'm interested to see if Layún could get some more minutes over there at Villarreal.
I'm actually more psyched to see Marco Fabián step up at Eintracht after he was about to sign for Fenerbahce in Turkey and then just come on. They actually took the official picture today, their photo. Marco Fabián was there after he was, like 2 weeks ago, we thought he was leaving the team and he's back on again. And then
he was literally, a week or two ago, he literally held up like the scarf of like Fenerbahce or whatever. Yeah.
Learned that's a big no-no. Do not show the scarf of the team unless you sign. So I'm kind of looking to see if he gets like his revenge on with Eintracht and take on like more leadership role at the offense and just showing, hey, you guys were wrong. I really do need to be here and I can show you guys and it can be important for the team. So I'm a bit more excited for Marco Fabián than Layún maybe for Europa League.
Yeah. So wrap things up. Let's look at the weekend results for the Mexicans abroad. I mean, speaking of Marco Fabián, even though Frankfurt lost 3-1 to Dortmund, it was pretty surprising to see Fabián in the starting 11. Wasn't his best game, wasn't Frankfurt's best game, but I mean, pretty impressive to see him there after, I mean, we just said it. We thought he was going to go to Turkey. We thought he was going to be joining forces with Diego Reyes. Feel a little bit bad for Diego Reyes because I'm sure he was a little excited to have a buddy like Fabián over the team. He's like, okay, cool. Can you imagine how Diego Reyes is? Yeah.
Imagine that WhatsApp conversation. Dude, are you coming over? Yeah, dude, it's all set. I'll be there. It's Don't cool. worry. We'll be the Mexican duo and Turkey. No worries. We'll have someone to go out, like have dinner with and just talk in Spanish or something like that. And they're like, oh, dude, you're not going to guess what happened.
It's like, yeah,
no, I'm staying.
You're not going to guess what happened. What, you can't meet me with Salt Bae tonight in Istanbul? It's like, yeah. No.
Yeah, like, hours in Turkey and he was with Salt Bae. That was amazing.
I mean, if I was in Turkey for like 4 hours, I'd go hang out with Salt Bae. So. but Marco Fabian, so let's see what he could do this season with Eintracht. Like you said, it's going to be interesting to see how he does. It's going to be a big game this Thursday against Marseille. Raul Jimenez got the game winner for Wolves over the weekend. 1-0 win over Burnley. Although I saw that Wolves had a total of 30 shots in that game. But he scores. That's all that matters.
I think I probably... more psyched about Raul Jimenez and Wolves than I am by probably any other Mexican at this point. I really think he came into the team and he's found a really good position. Yeah, it's not the most effective team, but he already has two goals to this point, and it looks like the team might have a really good shot at missing relegation at the end of the season. So I'm really psyched about him, not with Chicharito, who just is really struggling to actually get minutes with West Ham.
Yeah.
And today, Néstor Araujo had a really, really poor game with Celta de Vigo. They lost against...
Girona. Yeah. But I guess in his defense, I think that was his first bad game of the season. I think he's been pretty reliable for them for the most part.
Yeah, I was kind of sad because actually I think two of the goals were kind of his fault somehow. But I still hope he'll have a pretty good season. But yeah, it was a terrible result for him in particular, just seeing his performance today. But still, psyched about Raul. I really hope that he has more performances like this. I think they're actually facing Manchester United this weekend.
Oh, so really?
It's going to be great to see Raul come up and see if he can do something against the Red Devils.
Yeah, that's going to be a big game right there to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
You mentioned Chicharito. He wasn't able to take part in the last game. I saw that he had a virus or something like that, so he's not feeling well. But either way, that's just not ideal for him because he still hasn't been able to solidify a starting spot with the West Ham team, which, despite the win, they're just struggling this season. They're going to be relegation contenders. Once again, looking at Layún at Villarreal, he got the assist for the game-winning goal. So shout out to Layún for stepping up. And that, I think that was his first start of the season, if I remember correctly. I might be wrong.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but...
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, but either way, regardless, big opportunity for him, and he stepped up with that assist right there for Villarreal. A quick shout out to Boyo Briseño over in Portugal. He got the game-winning goal for Firenze in Taça da Liga, which is basically just the Portuguese Cup. But I mean, I'm not saying this guy is national team worthy. I'm not saying he's national team material, but if he keeps this up. I don't know, man. Like, it's just if he continues with the starting spot.
You could just, like, call him up eventually and just say, like, okay, let's just see what's going on there with Portugal or something.
Yeah, in January. Like, those January friend, like, those January friendlies, it's always against, like, for someone. Only,
yeah, like, I don't know, like a really small team.
Yeah.
It's usually when they only call up, like, Liga MX players. Maybe they could just, like, talk to Fede and be like, hey, we just want to take a closer look at this guy. I mean, he was national team captain for the U17 squad. In 2011, so he knows his stuff. So I don't know. Maybe we just shouldn't take him for granted and just give him a shot sometime.
I mean, this is for instance. I mean, they're not doing terribly. They're after four games into the season, they're in sixth place. So they're only a few points, 2 points behind Porto, 3 points behind Benfica. So this isn't a terrible team because I know there's a huge when it comes to Portuguese soccer, you have the big teams. And then you have
Porto, and then the rest. Well, maybe Sporting, but then the rest.
Yeah, and then you have those small teams that have like smaller attendance numbers than a Dorados, mm-hmm. or smaller attendance numbers than like a Zacatepec. So like, I think that's something to keep an eye on right there, because especially if we're looking for some defensive options going forward, if we're looking for backups, especially to someone like Moreno, I don't think we have a huge amount of options when it comes to that. Left center back position. As that right center back, we have a little bit more depth, but that left center back position, I think we could potentially look at him because if I do remember correctly, he is left footed. So I'm not saying call him up now, but yeah, maybe in January.
Keep an eye on him. Not a bad idea, I guess. I mean, you had Omar Gobea come up before the World Cup. So I don't know. Briseño doesn't seem to be doing that poorly. It's just we're good. No, don't worry about it. I give him a chance as well. That might be worth a look.
Yeah, for you other, I mean, there are a few other games we could go over, but I don't think there's really anything too noteworthy with the Mexican. That's right. I guess we have to 100% talk about the 7-0 win. I'm pulling it up on my phone. That's right, over ADO Den Haag. I have a terrible time pronouncing some of those Eredivisie names, but Chucky with 2 goals, and then of course Eric Gutierrez with the goal and an assist for Chucky. The assist was even more impressive than his goal last goal. So just what an incredible start over there for Gutierrez.
I was looking at the game and I was like, oh, he's coming in. It would have been great if he has a good performance. It was never close to let's think of him actually getting an assist or even getting a goal. And then both thing happens in 5 minutes. I think his goal was 2 minutes after he got into the pitch.
Yeah.
And then the goal and then the assist. And I was like, oh my God, the PSV fans are going to go crazy. We're going crazy and we're miles away. And they love all the Mexican players that have been there. I remember when they started singing Cielito Lindo to Andrés Guardado and they had this Mexican flag come up and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, if these guys can keep it up, they're going to be amazing in PSV. I just can't imagine what they'll be able to do to stick together. And they were obviously psyched to be playing in the same team again. Yeah. So they had the celebration, you know, where they connected their hands, and that was really cute and stuff.
Yeah, I don't watch Dragon Ball Z. I wasn't for some odd reason, I just didn't get into it. I don't know why. I was too busy watching Hey Arnold or something.
The celebration came out from. Yeah, I didn't. I knew they did that, but I only learned the day before yesterday that's where it came out. I didn't know it was that cartoon in particular. I was like, oh, they just came up with this thing. And then I saw the picture on Dragon Ball. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's a Dragon Ball Z thing. I don't know, man. I never got it.
It's a millennial thing.
Is it a millennial thing? Like I said, I was too busy watching Rugrats and Hey Arnold and Cat Dog. Maybe I was too much of a child. Yeah, maybe I was too much of a child and Dragon Ball Z was way too serious for me. I don't know. but I think other results that set off in the weekend, Real Sociedad got a 2-1 loss to Barcelona. 0-0 for Standard Liège against Sporting Charleroi. I probably mispronounced that. Guardado with Real Betis, they got a 0-0 draw against Valencia. I think that's about it when it comes to the Mexicans abroad. At least the results that stand out to me. I mean, for you, Adrian, any other?
Jonathan giving the assist for Zlatan's 500 goal.
Oh, that's right. Jonathan Dos Santos. I mean, oh my God, that goal. I guess if you were impressed by the goal from Jorge Sanchez and you haven't seen the Zlatan goal, I mean, go look at the Zlatan goal
Twitter, YouTube, anything.
Zlatan scores goals that I've never seen anyone score before in my life. That's what makes Zlatan
Zlatan. Physically impossible. I think we could actually get injured if we try to replicate one of those goals.
I'm not going to try. I'm not that flexible yet.
Yeah, no, it's something you have to practice. I don't know, in one of those foam pits. And just beg to God you won't fall on your head or something. It was just so weird, but it was a great goal. I mean, a great way to celebrate your 500th goal.
Yeah, I would never be able to do anything like that. Even though someone on the chat said that I look like Carlos Vela, I look like the chubby Carlos Vela who hasn't played a soccer game in 3 years. Adriana, any other final thoughts before we wrap up today's show?
I was trying to see how Dorados is doing, but I wanted to give you guys an update. 0-0?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 0-0. Yeah. I got it up on my phone.
If people actually showed up now, but that's going to be hard to see. So we might be able to talk about that probably next week. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, let's see what happens with the Tuca telenovela. He insists on saying, if you guys want me, you know what you have to do, which is get Tigres to fire me, pay up.
Get me a second Ferrari.
Yeah, get me another Ferrari. Which, by the way, he got pulled over last week. That was fun. It's the second time I've seen him being pulled over by police. So I don't know. There was all these rumors coming up saying that Matias Almeida might take over the Lyon position. If he does, obviously it means that he's not going to make it to the national team, which still seems like a really long shot by now. So let's see how that ends up. I don't know. I'd really like to go into 2019 knowing that we have a national team coach, but just doesn't seem like a priority at this point. I'm not sure.
Yes, we'll see how that goes. I mean, yeah, We still have some games coming up this year, so we'll see when we do have a national team coach. I mean, there was a there was rumors about Peckerman as well too, that he could potentially be taken charge. But I mean, you got to take all these rumors with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess looking forward, at least for me, just keep an eye on the Champions League, keep an eye on Chucky, keep an eye on Gutierrez, keep an eye on the guys over at Porto, and also on Thursday, I mean, keep an eye on the Europa League. Just with the amount of Mexicans that are going to be taking part in the Europa League this season, I would be surprised one of them goes quite far in the tournament. And we might have, I mean, for example, look at someone like Leon Villarreal. Villarreal, pretty talented. They could go pretty far in the Europa League. So I think that's something to be keeping an eye on. But yeah, I think that wraps it up for us. Thank you, Adriana, it was basically just you and me chatting for about an hour here without Tom, without any of the other crew. So hopefully you guys weren't missing Tom or Wiso or Amy a little bit too much here. But yeah, thank you, Adriana, again for joining me on today's episode.
You're welcome, Caesar. And let's remind the fans to vote for this weekend, for this week's games for Liga MX. You guys are kicking our butts, so keep on
doing now.
That.
For now. We'll see what happens in a few days. It's probably going to be my worst week.
Giving you guys a chance.
that's what we're trying to say. All right, thank you. Thank you all the listeners. Thank you for Amy taking charge of basically like the Twitter day and taking charge of all we were just talking about there with the predictions table. So Amy usually sends out those tweets. I want to say usually on like Wednesday or Thursday, and that's where you guys can vote on Twitter on the Mexican Soccer Show account, and you can therefore try to beat us again. But we'll see how it goes this upcoming week. I'm feeling a little bit more confident. I'm getting a little bit more momentum. I'm like a Pachuca now, where I'm feeling a little bit better. I know it was a little worse at the beginning of the season. I think things are getting better for now. But yeah, thank you everyone once again, and yeah, we'll see you on the next episode of the Mexican Soccer Show. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye, guys.